Yes? No? Now? There we go. Thank you, Carter. I want to hear me speak now after that. Boy, who? Good morning, everybody. I want to say right from the start that most of this lesson I heard from another guy who is smarter than me. And So I've rewrapped it and retooled it and redone it a little bit, but I'm standing on the shoulders of giants for this one. Okay, I want to start with a story about growing up. I come from a large family. I'm one of 11 children, and mom and dad, 13. Most of them are here today. I'll show you guys a picture. You'll see them. But when we were growing up, you know, it's a large family, and so we buy everything in bulk and do everything in bulk. We had two refrigerators and like five freezers, you know. So we had tons of stuff. We'd go through a loaf of bread in one meal, just, you know, and we bought barbecue sauce by the gallon. Not like, you know, a little tub, you know, lots of it. So we did that. We drove an RV around as our in-town car, you know. I'm not even making that part up. One day, we're bringing in groceries from the car, and my older brother, who was like three times my size, he was huge, and I was just this scrawny little guy. We're carrying groceries in from the car, and he grabs his gallon of milk, and he says, "Hey, Silas, look at this," and holds it straight out, the gallon of milk, just straight out in one arm. "Look at that," you know. And I'm like, "Oh, wow." And then he goes in the house. I wait till he's not looking, and then I grab a gallon of milk, and I'm you know. And so I can't really do it, but I still feel like somehow my masculinity has been insulted. And so I've got to prove I'm still tough, you know. And so that night around, you know, at dinner time, we're sitting around our dining room tables. and we're passing around one of our gallons of barbecue sauce around the table. And when it gets to me, I'm at the end of one of the tables. And it gets to me, and I realize it's about half empty. You know, it's got the cap on it and everything. They give it to me, and I've got it. And so I grab that barbecue sauce bottle, and I say, "Hey, Elijah, look at this." And I hoist that bad boy high in the air, you know, just to prove how tough I am. My whole family, they all talk at the same time. They all go quiet, and they all look at me. And they're silent, in awe, basking in my glory. And then they all started talking at once, going, "Oh, no, 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 mama." And I started to sense, I was getting suspicious that perhaps something had gone awry in my plan. So I bring this barbecue sauce gallon back down. The cap had fallen off. And I had said, "Hey, everybody, look," and started pouring barbecue sauce down the back of my shirt. And then I brought it down, and it came in a line, straight down my front, and it was kind of heavy. So it hit the table and exploded into the air on everyone around me. And I was like, I'm going to go take a shower. And so I out of the chair, you know, and I go to take a shower. It was embarrassing. But sometimes in life, you know, when you're trying to make yourself look cooler than you really are, and you're trying to put on this front and say, "Look at how tough I am," those are often the times when you fall flat on your face, and you know, people say, "No, wait a minute, you're not really all that you're making yourself out to be." It's usually in those times of pride that we slip up, and you know, what is it? Pride comes before the fall. That happened to me. Sometimes when you try to make ourselves look good, we just end up looking silly. I want to move on to a picture here. Go ahead and throw up that first picture. There you go. Most of us have a picture in our heads of what the perfect Christian family looks like, right? When you imagine perfect Christian family, something like this probably comes to mind. You know, they shine a little, you know, and they're all very clean cut and well-dressed at all times. You know, they read their Bible every day and twice on Tuesdays, you know, stuff like that. The kids wander around the house saying words like "blessed" and salvific, you know, like they never struggle with anything in life. They're just holier than everyone else. They float, you know, they don't walk, they just. And that's sort of how we picture the perfect Christian family, kind of looks like that in our heads. Sometimes we build up this image. These aren't real people. That doesn't tell the whole story. This is a stock photo. That's Mr. Stock Photo, Mrs. Stock Photo. You know, this is Mr. Actress, actor, and Mrs. Actress. These aren't real. These are people who are paid to look like this for this photo. People don't actually look like this in real life. Maybe the dad worries about his work. Maybe the mom might struggle with depression from some kind of a miscarriage or something. The daughter might be working through difficult body image questions after a boy at school calls her names. The son might be doing everything he can to get his dad to stop working long enough to just notice him. That would be more of a real life sort of a picture, right? Something where people are struggling in real life. This doesn't tell the whole story. This just says, look, everything's perfect. And we look at that and say, wow, I wish I were perfect, but I'm not. And so we kind of distance ourselves from that. I'm not sure anyone can live up to this ideal. I think we've made up this picture-perfect ideal, and it's not something that we can do. I don't think it's realistic at all. We've created this image of the ideal Christian family, and we're telling each other that if you don't look like that, you don't really fit in. You aren't really a good Christian family. You're sort of second rate. I want to show you guys some pictures of some real families here for a minute. This is what real families look like. Go ahead to that next slide there. Kind of chaotic, you know, a lot of things are going on. Next one. Real families always have that one, right? Next slide. Some days you just can't muster the smile. You know? He's happy to be there. All right, next slide. I don't know why there's a human spine in that picture. that's their family, though. They wanted a spine. Maybe it's not human. I don't know what it is. Next slide. Their family photo includes one of the kids just on their face. And the rest of the family's like, oh, I'll just take the picture, you know? Next slide. You know people like this. You might be people like this. And I don't know why. All right, go ahead. This one grows on you. Next slide. You guys know people who, you know, the pet is part of the family? Like, this is our daughter. That's a dog. Yeah, it's our, you know. Yeah, I don't know why. Okay, move on. This one. There's somebody missing. Can you find them? Right there. Yeah. That's an odd family. These families look more normal to me than that picture-perfect family did. You know, they're strange, but I think real families are. Go ahead to the next slide. Sorry, that was a little loud there. According to the last U.S. census taken, 23.5% of families who live in the United States are defined by married couples who live with their own biological children. There you have that up there. 23.5. That means the other whatever percent, everybody else, is not defined as married couples who live with their own biological children. Right? Less than a quarter of us, of America, is defined as married couples with their own biological children. That means most families in America don't feel like they fit this perfect image that we have created for the picture-perfect family. We have this image. This is what the perfect Christian family should look like. Most of us don't look like that. Go ahead to the next slide. There they are. We don't look like that. That's not what America looks like. That's not really what we look like. But we hold that image up and we say, that's what we should look like. That's what we have to look like. If we don't look like that, somehow we aren't real Christians. We're second-rate Christians. We're not as Christian as we need to be because we aren't that picture perfect. And we all tend to run ourselves down. We run ourselves down because we don't have this perfect image family that never struggles with sin or failure. Raise your hand if you've ever sinned in your life. Ever. Ever, yeah. If you didn't raise your hand, you might as well now for lying, you know. You can put them down. We aren't picture-perfect people. Everybody struggles with stuff. Everybody has stuff in their life. You aren't going to get to this perfect, we never struggle with anything, we never have any hardship in our life, sort of, we just go through life drifting on a cloud. That doesn't happen. Those aren't real people. Next slide. Here's a picture of my family. Yeah. There's a couple extra ones in there, some spouses and extra kids, but we don't fit that perfect picture family. There's too many of us, you know. We're all over the place. Our family photo, each of our heads is like that big. We don't fit that mold. But we're a good family. We're good Christians. We just don't fit that perfect picture mold, that ideal that people hold up and say, this is what you need to look like to be a Christian. And I know a lot of you guys are thinking, yeah, but, you know, we have all these good Christian families and good examples of families in the Bible that we can hold up and look to and say, this is what we should really look like in the Bible. And so let's explore that a little bit. Go to the next slide. This is Adam and Eve, that great, great family who spawned the demise of humanity. One of their sons killed the other one. Maybe not the ideal we want to hold up and say, everybody be like them. Next slide. Noah. He had a pretty decent family, but we always sort of forget about the getting drunk after he landed the ark. That part sort of mars his record, and we like to leave that part out. Next slide. Jacob and Esau. This is a great picture of a loving, loving family. We have a scheming mother and a naive father and a sibling rivalry that lasted generations because of this family. Next slide. Joseph and his loving, loving brothers who tried to kill him. They're messed up people. David, he's a guy after God's own heart, but he had the whole Bathsheba thing, and his sons and daughters fought and murdered each other and really just had this horrible, horrible family relationship. He's hardly the picture of the loving, loving, ideal, picture-perfect family. It's just not there. But I know you're going to say, yeah, but you know, we have Joseph and Mary, right? They're the ideal picture that we can hold up and say, they had it right. Except there was that temple thing where they left him for 3 days and didn't notice. You could get in trouble for that. You could go to prison if you forgot your child somewhere for 3 days. Jesus would get taken away for a stunt like that, you know? These are not families that fit that ideal picture in our heads, in our minds. When we read about the families in the Bible, we should be encouraged about our families. Like, if these guys can make it, boy, we're in good shape, right? That's surely we can too. But the point is, God doesn't use this perfect picture, this ideal that we've set up. God uses broken people. God has a big redemption story that includes all these sinful and broken people. And he tells this story all throughout the Bible, throughout our lives, through our brokenness, not our perfectness. I think he does that with the church. I think he does that with our families as well. He shows his redemption story through the broken people in the church. Next slide. There we go. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. It says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." Next slide. "God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Next slide. Should be a blank one. Nope. All right, go back. The Corinthians were fighting over their leaders. Some liked Paul, some liked Apollos, some liked Peter. And they were all fighting amongst themselves about who had the best leader. They were trumping themselves up and putting down the other guy. "We have the best leader. He's so great because of these things. That other guy, boo, we don't like him." And Paul writes them this passage that I've just read from 1 Corinthians 1. "To tell them to calm down and not to try to make themselves look better than they are. God chooses and uses the imperfect things for his cause. And when we try to make ourselves look better than we are, sometimes we just wind up looking silly. We try to trump ourselves up and say, look how cool I am. And it doesn't work out that way. You're going to get barbecue sauce on your head. So instead of putting up this perfect picture ideal and saying, we need to be like this impossible goal, we need to invite each other into God's big redemption story. We need to recognize that we all struggle and stop trying to act like we don't. Our theme verse for this weekend is Psalm 18:2. It says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." And I'd like to ask you today to let God be your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your stronghold. Anchor your self-worth only in the fact that you are a son or daughter of the Most High God. Nothing else matters. Your self-worth has to be tied up with that. It's not about being a perfect picture. It's God's big redemption story. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. Let that be enough. Yes, we are broken people, but it is through Jesus that we have righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Don't beat yourself up for not being the perfect picture. When you sin, repent from it and turn from it and cry out to God for forgiveness. Run from it as far as you can. But then bask in the fact that God has chosen to tell his big redemptive story through our brokenness and our frailty and our smallness. And God just lifts us up and says, I still choose these people to be my sons and daughters through whom I'm going to make my story known to the world. It's about the big redemption story. It is not about being perfect. If you are not a member of this family, if you're not a son or daughter of the Most High God, feel free to come forward and chat about it as we stand and sing.